Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Ask the CIO with your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest today is Ari Lightman, a distinguished service professor and director of the CIO Institute at the Carnegie Mellon University. Ari, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thanks for having me.
We usually talk to CIOs. On this program, we're going to do something a little different. We're going to talk to someone who helps CIOs do their job a little bit better. So you run the CIO Institute at the Carnegie Mellon University. Just give me an overview of the Federal CIO Certificate Program.
The Federal CIO Certificate Program came into being roughly about 10 years ago. Is based on the Clinger-Cohen Act, which basically stipulated a certain level of competency for IT managers within different agencies, branches, and departments within the government. And that created a wave, if you will, of universities getting together and crafting specific programs to meet the needs of CIOs. And we are one of the first founding universities, along with, there's 6 or 7 other universities that started off by putting together the curriculum that the GSA was looking at in terms of developing the certificate program.
And now this is something that happens at the Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, or where do people take classes?
Actually, we go to where the need is. So we determined that the best place to have this kind of program would be in D.C. First, there's incredible demand. We have a campus down in D.C. at the Hall of States. So we have 2 tracks that actually take place in D.C. One is at our campus, which is right in the heart of D.C., and the other one is at the Software Engineering Institute, which is located up in Arlington. So we have 2 tracks. They run at different times of the month, and we can accommodate up to 60 students.
Now, the 2 tracks, are they the same thing, or are they one is level 1, one is level 2?
Yeah, exactly the same thing. Same modules, same type of education, same type of structure that's been set up, same instructors. The only reason why we created the second track was we had overwhelming demand, if you will, for the first program, for the first track. So we needed to create a second one.
Do you still have that big demand? Because obviously here we are 15, 16 years since Clinger-Cohen, and a lot of people say, well, the CIO position has morphed in such a way that people now come hopefully better prepared than maybe they once were when they were, the information resource managers and they just happened to be the tech guy.
Well, we're keeping it relevant. So, yes, it got started with some of the stipulations from the Clinger-Cohen Act, but now we're seeing such a demand for CIO education. When you look at mobility, when you look at unstructured data stores, when you look at globalization in terms of information technology, security and privacy, all these issues, we try to address through the program. So, there's certain things that are stalwarts in terms of all we've been taught year over year, but we try to refresh the program as much as we can based on the student's interest to make sure that it's relevant in this day and age.
And I definitely want to go back to talk about how do you keep it relevant. But before we do that, let me get some more of the basics down. Now, you mentioned this has been in place for about 10 years. You guys are affiliated with the CIO University that's run by GSA, correct?
That's correct.
And how does that work? So you guys are a what to the CIO University?
You could say we're a preferred educational provider. So we're accredited. We provide the curriculum that meets the needs of the GSA and the CIO University. And at the end of the 8 modules, which we put together at the CIO Institute, students receive a certificate from the federal government, from the GSA, saying they've completed all the courses in compliance with the CIO University.
Okay, because I know that, as you said, there's about 6, 7, maybe 8 of the universities that do this. And it's that certificate as well that helps the people who want to be CIOs, who are CIOs, it helps them kind of move up. What's the benefit of getting such a certificate?
Well, there's a lot of benefits. So the way that we crafted the program, Jason, is that we sort of said, listen, if we're going to do this, let's not create it as an extension to an already existing master's level body. Let's create something that's robust, something that can stand alone by itself. And let's create it so that we can do peer-to-peer executive education in an open enrollment environment. And what that means is, you get 30 people that are all experiencing the same issues, all experiencing the same unique nuances associated with doing their job, and they learn from each other. So when we all get together, it's 8 modules over the course of 8 months. A module consists of 3 full-day classes, with individual instructors that come down from Carnegie Mellon University. It's really about creating a network of people that they can utilize to help them in the day-to-day aspects of their job. There's lots of opportunities of networking, not just amongst the class, but also with all the faculty and also with some of the alumni and some of the different organizations that are part of Carnegie Mellon.
It's as much about learning as it is about getting to know your peers and working together to, if you will, solve common challenges, whether it's a problem they're having at their agency or just understanding, or something simple, just as how is security and privacy relevant in the cloud, for instance.
Right. So a lot of the stuff that we look at Carnegie Mellon, which is sort of research-based, there's a lot that's theoretical research, there's a lot that's applied research, but we take a look at some of the major issues. And we're sort of uniquely situated. I'm at the Heinz College, which is a combination of public policy and information systems. So it's a really nice, unique blend of, wow, you know, we're experiencing business intelligence, data analytics, growing need of information technology. What sort of policy implications does this have? And this is some of the things that we experiment with, we provide education, we discuss when we're doing some of the tracks within CIOI, like e-government, e-commerce, information assurance. Those sorts of things are all discussed in a sort of an open environment. And it's really interesting because sometimes instructors, faculty, or professors, you know, there's a need to lecture. And this sort of environment, there's almost a need to facilitate, if you will, because conversation just happens across the room, and somebody from commerce might be able to help somebody from HHS, who might be able to help somebody who's a consultant or a contractor providing products and services into the government sector.
And actually, that's a great segue, because I definitely want to go through the curriculum in a minute. But before we do that, give me a sense of who are the students. Is it mostly federal employees? Is it a combination of federal employees and contractors? And give me a sense, how much does it cost? Who pays for the coursework? Does it usually come from the agency themselves or from the students' pockets?
So we're seeing some shifts, if you will. So at the beginning, it was an institute that was set up specifically for IT, mid to high level IT managers within agencies, organizations, departments within the government. Over time, as word got out regarding this type of education and the interest associated with it, it sort of spanned out to folks that are providing products and services, as I mentioned, into the sector, specifically the consulting companies, but also the defense contractors. Now we're finding folks are finding out about the program who aren't affiliated with any of those two former groups, but are just looking for this type of education in this sort of environment. For example, you know, we have some media companies. We have senior VPs who are in charge of IT management with media companies. We have somebody from the healthcare payment side flying in from San Francisco. We have a IT manager from Greenland who flies to Denmark and then flies into DC. So we're getting out about the program. We're seeing a lot of international students, which just adds to the flavor and uniqueness associated with the program. In terms of some of the specifics, so the cost is per module. I mentioned there's 8 modules. We have a rate of, I believe it's $2,900 or $3,000 for a module. And there's a discounted rate for government employees of $2,500. So that's the cost. So if you're looking all in over the 8 modules, then you're looking at anywhere from $20,000 to $25,000. A lot of folks that go through the program and do the 8 modules, get their certificate from the GSA, are very much interested in transferring into one of our master's granting programs, like our MSIT degree, and we provide some credit transfer for them. So there's sort of an easy transition, if you will, from going from the CIOI program into the MSIT, which is an actual master's level program.
And real quick, who pays for this? Is it usually paid for by the student or paid for by the agency or some combination?
It depends. Usually what we're seeing is students in private industry, whether it's consulting companies, entertainment, they'll pay for it themselves or they'll get their company to pay for it. Usually the government employees either get a grant or get some sort of stipend from their agency or office to help pay for the cost of the program.
All right, very good. Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the program and get into some more specifics in the curriculum. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today is Ari Lightman, a distinguished service professor and director of the CIO Institute at the Carnegie Mellon University.
Sound familiar?
Where's my data stored? Who owns it? How many duplicates exist? How much file data is unused? How are we going to pay for all of it?
Vion Corporation's Capacity Services is the answer. Your organization needs a trusted advisor with the right technical tools and the right financial expertise to solve big storage problems for good. For over 31 years, Vion Corporation and Hitachi Data Systems have been planning and preparing to solve big data problems for the government at the exabyte level. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com. Whether your organization calls it cloud, utility computing, managed services, or capacity services, at the core is the rapid provisioning of information technology infrastructure. At Vion Corporation, they pioneered capacity services 10 years ago. Vion was awarded the first and currently holds the largest federal government capacity services contract. They provide government IT owners an agile financial vehicle for meeting mission-critical IT needs. Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been delivering IT solutions to the government for over 31 years. Visit Vion.com to learn more.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today is Ari Lightman, a distinguished service professor and director of the CIO Institute at the Carnegie Mellon University. Now, before break, we talked a little bit about the program itself, how it works, how it gets paid for, which is obviously very important to a lot of my listeners. Where do you see people coming from? Are there specific agencies you see a lot of influx of students from, or is it really spread across the board?
You know, it's really spread across the board, Jason. I mean, we see folks from, you name it, the Pentagon. We see folks from Homeland Security, from HHS. We see folks from Commerce. So it's really unique listening to them and trying to identify some of the challenges and what the interests they have associated with optimizing their job, making things more efficient, understanding new trends. And we bring that all into the curriculum. Every year, we're sort of optimizing the program to meet the needs of the influx of the students.
And now, are most of the students CIOs themselves already? Are they deputy CIOs? Are they what?
They're a mix. So it's an open enrollment program. We ask people to send us their resumes. And if we need to, we actually do some reference checks. So we want to make sure that it's at a specific level, right? And that's one of the challenges associated with open enrollment executive education. You want to make sure that people are comfortable with the content. They're actually managing teams and they're not, so you know, an analyst or a programmer, right? So the classes that we teach, IT procurement, IT management, those sorts of things are really geared towards sort of a high level IT manager, deputy CIO, CIO type person.
Okay, I think that's good to know because a lot of times you have people who want to be CIOs but are programmers or are project or program managers, and
right.
they got to make sure that's right for them.
Yeah, if you're in a class and you're an analyst and you're in a class with, you know, 25 CIO types with 10 to 15 years of experience under the belt, you're not going to get that much out of it because they're going to be talking about issues that you're just not going to be able to take part in the conversation. So we have to make sure that the audience is appropriate for the content that's being delivered.
Okay. So I think that's key, especially if you will, when you're going to spend $20,000 on a class, you got to make sure it fits your needs. So
well, the whole program, right?
Yes. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that curriculum. Let's go through each of the courses. You said there's 8 modules. Start off with typically how does the course run?
Modules have to do with our market research in terms of the needs of the specific audience. So we have a full 3-day track on leadership. Right? We have a 3-day track on information assurance. Those are sort of unique in the sense that there are just one instructor for the 3 days, right? They'll come in and they'll teach the entire track. And it's usually a fairly comprehensive course that's refined down into a 3-day time period, right? And there's case studies and there's assessments and there's programs, those sorts of things all within that 3 days. Normally, what we have is we have 3 different professors coming in and providing a key element of a specific module. So I'll give you an example, IT management. There's 3 different professors that are going to come down and teach unique aspects around IT management, whether it's negotiation, whether it's managing dispersed groups, whether it's looking at new technologies, those for case studies, what have you. But the idea behind it is you get exposed to three different faculty members that all have sort of unique experiences, and they can share that with the class and provide a different mechanism associated with teaching, so the learning just becomes that much more useful and valuable.
Let me jump in real quick, because 3 days on information assurance seems so short, because when you think about IT security and cybersecurity and how much focus there's been, obviously you're looking at it from a management perspective, but is information assurance a piece of a broader cybersecurity curriculum?
That's an interesting question, and it sort of dovetails into something that we're doing right now strategically for 2012, is we're putting together an actual program called CISO, which is Chief Information Security Officer. So you're right. Information assurance is very difficult to teach over a three-day time period, but we have some really fantastic professors from the Software Engineering Institute that lead that module, and they cover it from a very high level. Right? We don't get into technical aspects behind it, like this and those sorts of things, but the CISO degree, which is slated to be CIOI-like, if you will, we're thinking about how to deliver it. And it might be more intensive. It might be 5 days over 3 different months with a practicum at the end where you actually have an information security project, a capstone project that you need to work on with your team. So information assurance, information security is incredibly valuable, incredibly upfront associated with the needs of the CIO. That's why we're developing a whole track that's dedicated towards information security.
And, of course, Congress is going to throw a little ratchet into it when they pass that cyber bill.
Yeah, we're hoping.
In a couple of months, it gives you a little more curriculum to plan for, I imagine, right?
Oh, I hope so.
All right, we'll go into some of the other areas. You talked about IT management. You talked about information assurance. What are some other ones?
I teach a class, actually. I'm not only the director, but I actually teach a class on social media. So this is what I teach, actually, at Carnegie Mellon. And it's a really unique class. We talk about things that are happening in the social space, like crowdsourcing. We talk about what's going on with the latest generation of enterprise applications, how they're becoming more social oriented to allow for collaboration and innovation. And I talk about what's happening with e-government. There's a lot of governments throughout the world that are looking at how to tap into communities of people as people around the globe are utilizing social channels, becoming more advocated, if you will. They're advocating technology, they're advocating policy decisions, and they're understanding how to come together and utilize their voice as a leverage to affect policy change. And then government understanding that tapping into this sort of this, not the last mile, but the last 30 feet, if you will, and connecting with consumers is very valuable to really understand how legislation is going to be affecting multiple different communities.
Hey, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we can go through some of the other modules. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today is R.A. Lightman, a distinguished service professor and director of the CIO Institute at the Carnegie Mellon University.
Sound familiar?
Where's my data stored? Who owns it? How many duplicates exist? How much file data is unused? How are we going to pay for all of it?
Vion Corporation's capacity services is the answer. Your organization needs a trusted advisor with the right technical tools and the right financial expertise to solve big storage problems for good. For over 31 years, Vion Corporation and Hitachi Data Systems have been planning and preparing to solve big data problems for the government at the exabyte level. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com. Whether your organization calls it cloud, utility computing, managed services, or capacity services, at the core is the rapid provisioning of information technology infrastructure. At Vion Corporation, they pioneered capacity services 10 years ago. Vion was awarded the first and currently holds the largest federal government capacity services contract. They provide government IT owners an agile financial vehicle for meeting mission-critical IT needs. Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been delivering IT solutions to the government for over 31 years. Visit Vion.com to learn more.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today is R.A. Lightman, a distinguished service professor and director of the CIO Institute at the Carnegie Mellon University. Now, R.A., before break, you were talking about one of the courses you teach around social media. That's very interesting because social media is, if you will, a fairly new phenomenon and something that CIOs have had to adapt to over the last 3 or 4 years. Tell me a little bit more about that course. Like, are you looking at stuff not just at Twitter and Facebook, but as you said, even the idea of crowdsourcing, which is something that the Obama administration, for instance, has really used a lot to try to get those ideas and more input?
You know, I don't teach anything that's sort of channel specific. Yeah, we look at some of the major channels like Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter, of course, but it's a much larger global phenomenon. And one of the things I try to tell my students is that, you know, if you're in China, microblogging is much different than if you're in the U.S. You know, you got to look at CN Weibo, which is one of the largest microblogging services in China. It's a global phenomenon. It's resulting in some very unique manifestations online. So the issues that we deal with on a constant basis, but then I correlate that to what the CIO needs to be aware of. One of the big issues is unstructured data. If you're looking at social media data as a strategic asset, as something to utilize associated with what these communities are looking for, if you're doing stuff associated with tag correlation, if you're looking for sentiment analysis, that's a big unstructured data store, and it's very difficult for CIOs to comprehend and to utilize because most of the data that they work on is structured, right? They spend a lot of time setting up ERP systems and CRM systems, and now you have this voluminous data store that's coming in a real-time nature, and it's very difficult to process and understand. So I talk a little bit about measurement systems and what are some of the best practices associated with taking this data and creating folksonomies around it, which gets created as you go. But also, if you look internally, CIOs are facing this unique sort of demand, if you will, because the next generation of worker, if you will, we're going to see a generational change, and one generation of worker is going to be out to retirement. The next generation of worker is going to come in. They're going to be steeped in these technologies, right? They're going to utilize them for communication. They're going to utilize them for collaboration. What happens when you don't provide those within your workspace? Does it become that less attractive for them if they want to try and recruit those particular people? But then a lot of people are experimenting with Enterprise 2.0 applications. They're looking at creating social networks that are behind the firewall. What are some of the unique nuances that have to be put into place associated with developing and putting in some of these this next generation of enterprise applications? What about data archival? What about security concerns? All those sorts of things need to be understood with the caveat that this is where the world is headed. We're becoming a more social space. We're becoming a more transparent society. And people are demanding more collaborative and innovative applications and work processes.
Well, it's interesting because one of the things about social media that we've seen over the time is getting used to putting information out there that is not perfect. And I think that comes back to your unstructured data point that CIOs and even management has to get used to that in a much bigger way.
Oh, I totally agree with you, Jason.
Let's quickly go over the next set of courses. What else is out there for people to take as part of those 8 modules?
I talked about the e-commerce and e-government module. We also have a great module on process and performance management, where we have a lot of operationally oriented folks that come in and provide some education. One of our professors is John Calkins, who teaches economics over at the Heinz College. We have a module on enterprise architecture, and of course that's necessary for any CIO type education. Right, so we have 3 days on enterprise architecture. We have a class, as I mentioned before, on IT management, right? How do you manage dispersed and large groups from an IT-oriented perspective, right? How do you report on the ROI associated with specific implementations, right? How do you manage and motivate teams? We have a module on strategy and planning, and that's where we bring in some really phenomenal people that are really looking at technology innovation, technology commercialization. One of the gentlemen that teaches within the track is Dave Crackhart. He's also a tenure professor at Carnegie Mellon, teaches organizational behavior. He also touches into social media, but a little bit on social network analysis. But he's a phenomenal professor, has a wealth of experience. We have a track on IT acquisition and program management. What we've done is, so the track in Arlington, it starts off at the end of this month, and we started off with leadership, and then work all the way down to November with the 8 modules. The one in D.C. is going to be starting in March, also with leadership, and it's going to be work all the way down. With the Arlington track, we skip 3 or 4 months in the summer. With the D.C. track, we're only going to be skipping 1 month in the summer, so they're actually going to be finishing up pretty much at the same time. But we staggered the courses. And the reason why we did that is so that if students miss one of the courses, they could pick it up later in the year. And the idea there is that you can finish the entire program within that year time frame.
Well, we're almost out of time. Before I let you go, I just want to go over a couple quick other things. Give me a sense of how you keep the curriculum relevant.
A few different ways. First of all, the instructor is there to basically do market research as well as do instruction. So he's always finding out from the students what's relevant to them, what's important, what's top of mind, those sorts of things. We also do reviews of each of the classes. So the students are required to review each class and each instructor, and then provide feedback to us associated with what's old hat, what's not necessary, but what we should concentrate on and focus on. And then we also have some, you know, so we use social networking again, right? We have a community of CIOI alumni. It is about 120, 130 alumni. And then we have all the current students that are going through the program. So that might put another 50 or 60 folks in there. And we put together a social network and basically pull them on a regular basis asking, you know, what's important to you. And there's a lot of cross chatter, if you will, between the social networks. And we can identify what it is that's important for them.
And give me a sense of how it's changed over the last, you know, decade, both from a course standpoint and from even how people are using it to better understand CIO requirements.
When people were coming in, they were really looking at it to satisfy the requirements of the, you know, the Clinger-Cohen Act, and basically looking for the basic tool. So I think, you know, in terms of the CIO profession, it's really been changing over the past 10, 15 years from a support organization, which is very, very operationally focused, to an innovation center, which is basically they're now a partner, if you will, at the strategic management level, where if you're trying to do an implementation, we just mentioned like crowdsourcing. So if there's a company like Procter & Gamble, if there's a group like HHS, which is saying we wanted to do a crowdsourcing initiative, the CIO is at the forefront of the table saying, this is how you implement it strategically from an IT perspective, but this is also how you do the data analytics on the back end and the metrics to identify whether the program or the application is successful or not. So as the CIO gets out from the support area and comes to the forefront associated with innovation, understanding IT security, understanding implications, understanding innovation in sort of the true sense of the word, there's new demands on them, and the course curriculum has to be modified accordingly.
Very nice. I think it sounds like we could probably talk a lot longer. This sounds like a fascinating course, and maybe something I can audit as a media member, right?
No problem, Jay. Let me know.
All right, very good. Well, we are unfortunately out of time. We will catch up with you again soon. You've been listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today was Ari Lightman, the Distinguished Service Professor and the Director of the CIO Institute at the Carnegie Mellon University. Ari, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM WFED, your source for federal news now.